Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
This is TV Worth Talking About.
My gut tells me we're dealing with sophisticated problems.
This is Shrine Podcasts.
90 seconds, hurry!
Trigger Point.
Hello and welcome to Shrine Podcast presents Trigger Point. I'm Brendan.
I'm Hannah.
And I'm going to start today's podcast with an appeal to, I guess, no one in particular, to get Lana Washington on compassionate leave. The woman has seen yet more of her nearest and dearest blown to smithereens and yet continues to answer what seems like dozens of call outs a day. I'm just wondering that maybe if she was given at least one day off, maybe she'd find a moment to phone her poor old mother. This week we learned Daddy Freyr is a David Bowie fan, as somebody welcomed us to Labyrinth. Britain's facial recognition software is fatally slow, and poor old Helen is £117 overdrawn. We've got your thoughts and theories in a little bit, but first, Hannah is on your recap. Take it away, bitch.
Oh my God, thank you so much. So, we picked back up where we left off on quite the cliffhanger last week with Thom having been pushed down a lift shaft to a surely certain death, only to land on top of his situationship in the form of Lana Washington. But they do start off with a bit of mystery. Is Thom actually gone? Oh, never mind, yeah. He is dead. So the man
to
in
be
charge,
fair, Reb had said, because she'd watched it before I did, and I said, like, is Thom dead? And she was like, well, when they did the little mini recap at the start, when you look down that lift shaft again, Reb was like, it's a long drop. Like, you're not surviving that. And
no.
You're just not. No.
No, and they tried to spin it at the start for a bit of excitement, but no, the man's gone. What is the name of the new guy who came in, who's a bit gorgeous and he's in charge of everything?
His
lovely coats.
I'm not sure. Is this the fellow who's head of counterterrorism?
Yeah.
Not the sexist dude.
Yeah, him. What's his name?
Oh, yeah, no, I don't know his name. No, right, I do know it. Carry on, it'll come to me.
Okay, well, that man briefs the team back at HQ with a powerful speech about winning now the fight in memory of Thom. And Helen and Lana sort of exchange heavy looks. I'm not sure if Helen knows that Lana and Thom were ever together. Not even about the what's going on now. She doesn't seem to know that they're exes.
Commander Francis is his name.
Commander Francis. Okay, I won't forget that now. So a woman and a man meet in a coffee shop. Like, I was a bit confused. I was like, are we meant to know these people? And while distracted over a breakfast dish, another red-haired man steals breakfast man's bag. Breakfast man, we learn, is called Oliver, and he deposits it into a suspicious van. Now, just before Oliver leaves for work, the red-haired man is back with the bag, and we learn that the woman that he is speaking to, it's kind of a meet-cute situation, her name is Hope, and they set up a date for later that day. Oliver's thrilled, and let's be honest, Hope's not going to go because there's something very dodgy about her. So we next appear to be in the office of, I think it's a newspaper, or it's a TV station, with a very glamorous blonde woman who
receives... It's a newsroom, and I'm obsessed. She was cast so well. Like, instantly you were like, oh, yeah. She's like a modern-day journalist.
Yes, and we all know someone like that, Brendan, having had experience in newsrooms ourselves.
Oh, sure, I've worked with dozens of them.
Glamorous women involved in there that are excellent at their jobs, and she receives a clock in the post. Now Lana's dad rings her to ask if she's had any luck talking to her mom, and she still hasn't gotten through. And I have to say, at this point I put, she's not trying very hard, but I was wondering, is that woman dead? Because she's like, oh, I rang her, she didn't answer, I called her and she wasn't there. And I'm like,
I'm
not being bad, but your dad is clearly distraught. Like, I think you should make slightly more of an effort. But
now I do have a theory on the mother that I'll save for later.
Okay, excellent. Because there's something fishy going on there. But also Lana's obviously distracted by the fact that every single person she's ever met has been blown up or killed. So pass for that. So at HQ, we hear about how the terrorists got the bomb into the building. So a lift repairman is missing and it was his pass that was used. So the team has since got a call from someone using voice altering software who says they have information. And the team has also been looking into Nick Hood.
Cher. Oh.
the team has also been looking into Nick Hood, who is that blonde freak in custody.
Yeah, Daddy Frere.
Oh, sorry, Daddy Frere, yes. And they learned that not a very suspicious life, but he did go to Poland once for a chess tournament and he only turned up on the first day and then he fucked off. So very suspicious, they think. And in the act of perfect timing right at the end of the meeting, they get CCTV showing the fake fire person pushing Thom to his death and Lana kicks the bathroom bin around. Now, I just actually can't. And I got so far and now I just can't.
Have you lost the will?
Because it's just not realistic police work. The timings of things are just, it's pissing me off. We can get more into it, but just, oh, here's the exact CCTV we need as we're all about to stand up.
Yeah.
Oh, here's the bag back right on time before that man leaves. There's no, it's, you know.
I know. It is an entertainment show, though.
What is my problem? Is it me? I don't know. Okay, so
no,
seconds.
Like it's not the best TV show by any means, but I'm enjoying it for what it is.
Yeah, I am.
Good afternoon, everybody.
Hi, Rebecca.
Yes.
So I had to update my computer. See, Nathan uses this laptop. Just good morning and good afternoon to everybody. Nathan, my husband, uses this laptop to play his games, right? One of them needed an update and the whole thing was just very slow there for a few minutes. But sure, I'm back. I'm alive
you're
and
back
well.
The band
here we
now,
are.
Yeah.
And you sound great.
Yeah, I can hear you guys perfect.
Unlike
sounds
Tom.
Great. Sorry, that was an unnecessary death if I ever saw
agree.
One.
I wanted to see, I was invested in Tom and Lana.
Why
gone.
Did they do that?
I don't know.
Who else do we care about?
No. I couldn't care
maybe,
about anyone.
Maybe the man had committed to some other like projects and he had to be like, I can do this series if you write me out.
Fair enough. Do you know what I mean? But like, listen, Trigger Point's a little bit gammy, but it is very, like, it's full of tension and I enjoy watching it one a week. But I don't know if I'd watch a third season, let's put it that way.
I don't know if there will be a third season.
And guys, I said this last season, so I'm just glad you're on board. Do you know what it is? It's maybe because if I was able to have a glass of wine and watch this. And
you could
just
have a glass
sort
of wine last season, Beth.
Yeah, and I didn't know that I needed one, but this is the show where I don't think you should be fully sober, fully with it. Just let it wash over you, because I'm looking for logic that doesn't exist.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No,
and then
no.
I'm
but you know what? Like, it's a bit far fetched that she's the only expo in the whole
in
of London,
London.
But sure,
yeah,
I suppose
God's
there'd be no
sake.
Drama otherwise. Do you know what I mean?
I couldn't agree more. So basically, she's at the team meeting. They find out that Thom was in fact murdered. He didn't fall. And seconds later, she's the one testing the clock that was sent to the journalist. And there is no bomb there, but there is a hidden message on an accompanying card that reads, "Welcome to the Labyrinth."
And, I love the way she sprayed that and then it just kind of came through. So they didn't open it in case of the anthrax.
Yeah. And I used to have like a little detective kit when I was younger and it just reminded me of like writing in invisible ink and then you can write over with a certain pen and then it comes up. So
was that the Filofax, Hannah? Did you have the detective Filofax kind of, it was a folder?
I did.
Yeah, I
had
a Filofax
as well, yeah.
I God, did, it was very important. And I have a book upstairs that I've kept for my, I think I kept it without realising, but now it's going into my unborn child's bedroom and it's called The Detective Handbook. And it was a little book written for kids about how to be a detective. So I think, guys, I can see where this started young for me with these type of TV shows.
Yeah, getcha.
And I think that...
Could you guys talk about the iconic journalist?
We have, but...
We did,
yeah,
loved
we
her.
We loved her.
Like, give that woman a spin-off, do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
with
really
Jill Bigelow
her.
The news
together.
Yeah, her and Jill Bigelow wouldn't get on now.
No, because you can't they'd have too clash. Many glass. 100%. They will clash. Mm. But then maybe the arc could be that eventually they get on. They could be sisters.
They'd end up bonding over, like, they'd get absolutely trolleyed on wine and then just kind of, like, yeah, cave into each other. Yeah.
And I like the concept. Like, Jill is obviously, like, the spin doctor for the mess. And this new glamorous blonde woman is the journalist who is printing every story that comes across her desk, no matter who
she's a dog with a bone. Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, I think that could actually create some great drama. So that glamorous blonde woman fully intends to print the story, even though Frances has been in asking her not to. So they've traced the van. And this is, like, the kind of shit I have problems with in Trigger Point, where it's like, here's two sentences and we've done all this detective work off screen and now we're off to a new place covered in bombs. So they've traced the van that the fake lift engineer used. That was the person who put the bomb into the first building at the end of the last episode. And they're at another abandoned warehouse and there's a new person chained to a radiator and rigged to a bomb. So Lana, the only person in the UK capable of dismantling a device, steps up to help, but not before declining a call from her mother. So I'm like, well, at least the woman is alive, because I was getting worried. Lana doesn't give a shit. So it turns out the device was a hoax and that the man is the real lift engineer who was kidnapped and had his path robbed.
Oh, was that who he was? Jesus, I missed that.
Yeah, but you know, I missed last week. I didn't know that that woman whose head was blown up was having an affair with someone, and I only caught that in the recap. So,
an affair with the fella from the first episode who turned off the computers at the power station.
Yeah, he was in the hospital and he's severely injured. That
the man, the man who's gasping for air, and they're doing full interview with him.
And Helen was interrogating him. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Okay,
breathing all over him. Not even a fucking face mask inside.
Not now, Helen.
PPE who. Okay. So evidence suggests that the warehouse is a bomb factory, right? So the mystery caller is back. And, like, I mean, he's meant to be using, like, voice scrambling software. He's simply not, because we know exactly who it is. It sounds like the man who has a shrine to his daughter. And lo and behold, it is. He wants to meet in an hour. He wants one officer to turn up. Someone who knows about explosives. Gives you two guesses who that's going to be. But Helen goes along as well, which creates a moment where the two women, both grieving exes of Thom, can discuss his death on a bench. So the caller rings Helen's mobile.
I don't know if this bit of the episode has happened yet or not, but, like, there's just a really passing, it's not central to the story, but Helen is in the office and, like, one of her co-workers comes up, and obviously, you know, everyone knows Thom has died. And the collie comes up and just goes, oh, you were so perfect together. And I'm like, that's just such a bizarre way to console somebody. Surely, like, you'd be like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. Are you okay? Like, can I do? Not, ah, yeah. Jesus, you were so perfect together. Isn't it awful convenient he went and died on you?
But
it was
just
really weird.
Not a tear shed between the two of them. Not a tear shed, not a day off, not a HR meeting, not a cup of tea made. They're just get on with your
day off.
Like, his dead body landed on top of her.
I know. I think they did that because it was kind of just to point out that no one thought that him and Lana were together, kind of thing, and she'd had that convo with them and that type of way.
Yeah.
It doesn't, it's not what you'd say though.
It's not what you'd say, no.
God, guys, we are spicy today, aren't we?
We're being slapped across the face with the information. It's like, we know how Lana might be feeling. We can, you know, we can ascertain that from what's happened. But anyway.
Maybe we should do Big Little Lies season 3.
Is it coming
back? I live.
Yeah.
Is it?
Yes.
Oh no, Hannah, it is, yeah. Yeah.
See,
oh no, Nicole and Reese have been, like, they're full on, like, working on it, like, it's written, I think.
I'll watch Anthony Reese Witherspoon makes, first of all, and the thing is, they put Meryl Streep in the second one, so it's not like Trigger Point where, you know, if there is someone really famous in this, I think we just have to talk about it.
Yeah. Also, in other non-Trigger Point related news, it has been all but confirmed today that Gavin Stacey is back for one more Christmas special this Christmas.
Aww. It's amazing news. I'm so happy for you, Brendan, because I really feel like anyone I've ever met, you love Gavin Stacey the way I love Sabrina the Teenage Witch. You know, long running. You just love it so much.
So we're
you
hopefully
going
to get an answer to Smithy and
proposal.
Nessa. To the big proposal, yeah.
So exciting.
So exciting.
Yeah, that's my Christmas made. It's just perfect.
Back to this.
She's actually in Dublin at the moment, Ruth Jones. I'd say
she's in
Sister
Act to the Borgosh Energy Theatre.
It's across the road from you, Brendan. Pop over.
Oh, I'm going tomorrow.
Oh, Okay, so come here. Where were we? Yeah, so this guy rings, right, Helen, and he has all this intimate information about her. And he was like, look, I know all this shit about you, but I told you to come alone and you didn't. So now I'm not coming at all. So
he had her exam results. He was like, you failed.
You're 117 pounds in debt, love.
Yeah, no, I love that. But it's like, could be going through someone's GCSEs is wild.
Now, and this is me getting a bit line of duty on it, but I thought that, oh, and you're £117 overdrawn was funny, but we do know from other storylines and other shows that if you are in debt, it opens you up to being bribed. So, Helen, question mark.
Brendan, £117.
Love, does it cost you live?
No, I'm fully aware of the cost you live, but like, it's just, it's not enough, surely. Like, okay. She'd be to their overdraft. We all have an overdraft. Do you know what I mean? I fucking live in the thing.
You throw your whole career away.
For just £117.
You'd be grand. Roll that into a loan and just don't think about it again. Okay, so earlier in the episode, Helen is interviewing Nick, that Friar Tuck man, and she plays the chess card. And then he says that she underestimates him and that he's one or two moves up his sleeve. And then he screams at her in French. And then later that we learn that I can't even read it. So later we learn that that was a revolutionary slogan, apparently, that means the beach is below the streets. Okay, so the mystery caller is back and he leads Helen and Lana to his destination in the basement of a building. Full reveal, no mask, nothing. He's not part of the organisation behind the bombs, which is apparently called The Wave. He's just a tech guy and he hates violence, but he just wants justice. And I think we will ascertain from that that he wants justice for his daughter, who seems to have died. So he helped The Wave initially with the drones, but now they want more from him and he's not willing to give it. Now he's realised that they're absolute lunatics and Lana's very angry at him. So back at HQ, Francis isn't happy with Lana and Helen because they totally disregarded any safety measures and went into that basement. And the clock that the glamorous woman received continues to count down. So Lana's boss has come to check on her. What? That sentence doesn't make any sense. Lana's mom has come to check on her, but Lana sends her home really quickly and she's like, look, mom, you can't be coming in to work them up the walls, but I'll pop around for a curry later. And the mom is like, no, you can't because things are horrible between me and your dad. And then she just runs out the place crying. So I think they've done something mental in the house,
well,
have they?
I think that's not. I think the mom has sent the dad running to live in Lana's because the mom, there's something going on after Billy went boom in the car in the last season. I think that whatever terrorist, well, Billy did go boom. Whatever terrorist organization were like, there's somebody has something over the mom, and that's why she's not letting Lana or the dad into the house.
Did you think she's doing an undercover operation herself to try and figure out who these people were who killed her son, and she's got in too deep now and she's kind of,
I'm totally open to that,
I just thought she wrote like Billy all over the walls in tiny writing and just like stuck loads of photos up from him and just went mad and didn't want anyone in the house. But that
I think the woman is in trouble. Like she's in trouble.
Okay. She's in danger, girl. Okay, so she runs out of the place and Lana just literally doesn't have time to deal with it. So right, so we basically learn your one hope and the red haired man from the coffee shop earlier, they are the Wave guys. These are the baddies, okay? And they've brought in...
Sorry, was your man with the glasses a baddie as well? Or the man that came in and put the laptop bag down? Not Oliver with the round glasses. He's
not Oliver. Oliver's Brendan.
No, he's a single ready to mingle.
Oliver was ding dong.
He's a special advisor. He's a victim. He's innocent. It's Hope and the man with the red hair. And there was one other man there. So they've basically brought in Alex, who I think is the name of the grieving father, to do more dodgy tech work for them. And this is where I fully switched off, because your one hope is like a very gorgeous woman. And it's just all a bit, we've gone a bit Marvel now, kind of like secret, like bombers. Like it's just a bit ridiculous. But anyway, this is where we're at. So in HQ, Helen goes full Sherlock Holmes. So she surmises that a scrap of paper found at the bomb factory earlier that day that looked like a circuit breaker is actually a map. And then she remembers what your man Nick screamed at her in French, translated to English, under the streets is the beach. Then 4 seconds later, D.I. Batra, who is Manhoof Thiara from Line of Duty, realizes that the map on the scrap of paper is actually a map of the Strand in London, and off they all go.
So very convenient.
Yeah. I was looking at that, and I don't know. The only way that he could have got the Strand was all the little locations on it had like little rectangular things, and then the Strand was the only round one on it. And I don't know if that's what he was looking at. I don't know.
So off they all go, and the place is obviously completely rigged with bombs, but they turn out to be hoax devices. Then, guys, just in case your imagination hasn't been stretched to its complete fucking limits, we get this wild night vision goggle sequence in green, because the team believe that if they use their torches, they're going to set off light sensors, which will ignite the whole place.
Like they did with the Whitney Houston choker in the last episode.
Yeah, so the whole screen goes to this.
God, I missed that.
It's just it's bright green. The whole screen is like just two goggles.
Two green dots, and then Lana and your man are like chatting to each other through green dots.
Typical, guys.
It goes full video. You were asleep, were you? It goes full video game. So night vision goggles, light sensors, motion sensors, blah, blah, blah. They set something off, and then on the back wall is this sort of red paint revealed. They're sort of like underneath the city in like big, like it's like an old underground.
In a disused tube station, yeah, which okay. I do find very glamorous now, if I'm honest.
Yeah, well, there was
a... I love them in like a Bond movie and stuff, and I was like, oh, there's a tube station that's like not used.
Remember Sherlock, Brendan?
Mm.
Watched one of the Bonds recently, and that's, I was like, this happened in something else that I saw recently. Yeah, it must have been, was it Spectre?
Yeah, it's also in Skyfall, I think.
Oh, maybe Skyfall.
Oh, yeah, no, yeah. Don't quote me on that, I don't know.
Yeah, and there's definitely a scene in Sherlock, or a set piece in Sherlock where they're stuck on a tram underneath the ground. I'm kind of obsessed with disused stations, and you know, sometimes they create like, what's like a fake house to cover up like where a disused tube station is, and like fake facades of buildings and stuff. Have you heard about this in London? So you could be walking down a street in London and like some of those houses are like 2D.
No way.
Yeah, kind of obsessed with that. So
there are 40 abandoned or disused tube stations on the London Underground.
That's very interesting.
Well, like, can they give us some, because we've literally no train from the airport in Dublin. I think it's a disgrace.
It's an absolute disgrace. So, guys, Catch Me If You Can appears in blood red ink sprayed on the back of the tunnel that Lana and Haas
love
are
that
in.
Movie.
The wave watches on, and Alex is forced to upload the footage online. So there's a few minutes left on the timer, the big clock that was sent to the glamorous woman, and everyone figures out that there just has to be another bomb because the timer hasn't stopped. So it looks like Oliver has been running around all day with that bomb in his little bag, and he didn't think to check. So just in time, Alex gets through to Lana, who is now resurfaced, and he has a photo of Oliver that he's lifted from a laptop belonging to the wave. And D.I. Batcher runs this sort of Mission Impossible style facial recognition software, and they find Oliver.
That facial recognition software was me. It was really slow and really shit. No, I think it probably does, and I think it's probably better than what they had there. It was painfully slow, and it was like doing one face per second. Like, if you need to scan the entire population,
80 million people in the UK.
Exactly. Like, you need to be moving a bit faster.
Well, thankfully, with 10 seconds to go, they figure out that that man is in fact Oliver. He's a special advisor to a minister whose office is on the same fucking streets that Lana and Helen are standing on. They make it up to the door, and just before the timer runs out, Hope emails a hopeful Oliver, and the place is blown to bits.
Jesus, it was shocking though, wasn't it? Poor Oliver.
Poor Oliver. He was just on MSN Messenger thinking he was having a flirty chat.
Obviously, the email set off the bomb, did it?
Yeah, it was that message.
Jesus,
Hope.
Jesus, guys.
Yeah.
That's no really hope. Terrifying.
Oh, God,
had a great recap from the half that I heard. Well done.
Thank you so much. That email, like, I don't have the thing at the bottom of my screen that pops up when I get an email. So what if he didn't check it on time when he was in the right place? What if he looked in his bag?
Yeah, I mean, they were playing a risky game, yeah.
How does an email make a bomb? Like, did they swap his laptop?
You can code anything these days.
Okay. Thanks, guys. They were my questions.
And they were my answers.
And we'll have your thoughts and theories after this.
Thank you, Reb.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Okay, we're back with your thoughts and theories. Reb has got those this week.
I do. I'm here after my update on my laptop, which I'm now looking at very suspiciously after all this that's gone
Don't
on.
Don't press enter.
We have a voice note first from Alan.
Hello. Loving all the episodes. Watching Trigger Point for the first time. Sat down with a box of wine last night and cleared the thing with my boyfriend. It's the only way to enjoy this show, I think. I have two things. One is, is everything really strange in this show? Like the casting and the sets all seem mad. Like as in all the apartments look like Airbnbs and that couple with the baby. What was that living arrangement? Like, I've never encountered, and it's difficult times, but I don't understand how that house, that couple, that baby and that man with the blonde hair were all living in the same place. I didn't get it. And the second thing, you know your man who got burnt alive? It's like a chip pan fire. Your man in the hospital, Johansson. You shouldn't call a character Johansson because it sounds like the surname Johansson, which is very confusing. But also, are we certain that that's the same man who was in the beginning, because he got burnt very bad, and I'm like, is that the same actor? Because the reason I say it is because in the first episode, your man Dastardly Devil in the electricity factory was like hopping along like an evil man. I think he mentioned it. And then at the end of the episode, after he'd been exploded, they saw the distant man on the roof controlling the drone, which we think is blonde man, but like when he was walking towards the stairwell, he did a little hop in his step, and I was like, is that the same guy? So my theory is that Johansson and the man who exploded at the beginning are different people. And he's actually still out there. And that's it. But it's absolutely mad. And Vicky McClure is a threat to everyone around her.
Sorry, what a voice note, guys.
Okay, guys, so I'm actually
first
crying.
Of all,
I couldn't agree more.
He absolutely hit your point on the head, Hannah. He watched Trigger Point with a box of wine.
This is the thing. So were you on when we were talking about that, Reb? I think one of my main issues with it is that I'm forced to be sober watching this. Because you need a box of wine. He had all those problems with it after the box of wine. I just... I can't stop laughing.
Yeah,
I also
screaming,
thought
also,
Johansson was that man's surname. Is his name Joe?
No, his name is Joe Hansen. Space Hansen. Hansen.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Yeah.
Like Joe forename Hansen surname.
Doom-bop.
I was thinking it was a very like Southern American name.
It's a very good point, though, because when we do see the power station scene at the start, it very much does look like Johansson is an evil person who's in on the whole thing.
Yeah.
And then basically, then he's like actually been, he has been blackmailed because they have
because
his
he's having an affair with
lover.
The woman tied to the radiator.
Yeah. But he looked very willing to do it. No, he was a bit nervous, R.I.P. but he still seemed to be.
No, he was tiptoeing around like Evel Knievel.
Yeah, he was a bit, but then I'm like, maybe you were just trying to save your lover. Listen, great voice note, though, Alan.
Anyway,
thank you.
Everyone needs a box of wine for the next episode.
Fair enough. Here's one from Christopher.
Like a lot of people, I think I'm only really watching this show for you guys. I might, if you weren't podcasting about it, I might not otherwise watch it. It's a lot of old nonsense, isn't it? Let's be honest. But it is not unentertaining. And I am quite getting it. I agree that I think it's better than the first season. I find Lana a very unsympathetic character, actually. She has no no soft edges to her, but very, you know, enthrallingly portrayed by Vicky McClure. In our house, we're really glad that Bumface is dead. We've never liked him. We didn't like him last series. We don't like him in this series. And he died in a very comical way. The firefighter that was clearly... firefighters are generally not scared of heights. Straight away, it was very obvious that this is not a real firefighter. So yeah, that was a comical death. The terrorists, if that's what they are very, so far at least, very one-dimensional. You know, they come up with very sort of student politics kind of lines, you know. You know, the sort of people that might have their own website that's called, I don't know, like truthseeker.net or something like that. So far, I'm about to run out of time. Thanks very much for your work and I'll watch the rest of it. Cheerio.
Jesus, guys.
Christopher does not hold back.
We are the only ones that were scathing this week. At least we're all on the same page.
I agree. And yeah. The voice notes are reassuring and they're really making me laugh. And thank you for people for watching this with us, and I'm sorry.
guys, it's entertainment.
And this is entertaining. It's doing what it's supposed to do.
It is. Do you know that way? Stephen's been on Instagram. He DM'd us. He put in a quote from the episode. Tom was liked by all. He says, ha ha, like fuck, bitch. Dig of the week. I was laughing so much about this. So basically, Stephen's just like, do you know what? Tom wasn't liked, because there was a bit of a, like, we didn't really like Tom in season one, and then all of a sudden he's the nicest man on the planet.
Yeah, I couldn't remember that now.
Stephen says, I 100% think that she's going to go over to her mum's house this season and find that she has a bomb around her neck and she can't save her own mum. There is something going on with the mum.
I hope then she gets a day off. Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ. M on Instagram DM'd us as well. And M says, my little comment for episode 3 is that when they're in the briefing room, D.I. Batra gets the video footage of Tom being pushed and he doesn't give them a trigger warning about what they're going to see. It looks like he watches it himself first, but then the others present are Tom's ex and his current girlfriend, plus colleagues. He's just like, why didn't, you know, Vihan say that they're about to watch something awful? It kind of just came out of nowhere.
Yeah. Because if Vihan's like, look, if Hey George doesn't give a fuck about these people, then why do I? They shouldn't even be in work.
Those people shouldn't be in work, and when they return to work, slowly but surely, they should be desk bound.
Yeah, that's true. Jane's been on. Jane says, I'm trying to take everything in this episode. It's making my brain look like the aftermath of Oliver's meeting. How did the informant get involved in the group and why do they trust him? Why do we get so many shots of Danny when he doesn't seem to be doing anything? I'm counting on you guys to make sense of it all for me.
Well, don't.
Jane, we're not sure.
I wouldn't. Danny did not have one line. Danny's script came like that this episode. Didn't one line. Just a few looks and then that's me. I don't even know why he's there. It's offensive.
They probably put in a few shots just to be like, Danny's still here because we've killed off everybody else. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, and I think they were like, Jesus, we forgot about Haas on the team. So put him down in that fucking tunnel for this bomb disposal because the man hasn't done anything and Lana's running the show.
Lads, Danny's wedding must be really soon, yeah?
Yeah. Well, he was meant to be going on his stag 2 weeks after episode 1, which would have been this week.
Yeah, the best man was killed. Do you know what I mean?
Would you postpone?
Lana, you're up.
So Tracy says, is Lana's dad permanently by the lockups? I'm loving season 2. I thought Lana would get to the bomb that killed poor Oliver in time. It's definitely not as predictable as season 1. That's true. It isn't as predictable. Like, it's all a bit wild. Do you know that way? Like, there's drones, there's underground stations, there's, you know, it has gone up a level. I just don't know if it's realistic. I mean, we don't want it to be too realistic at the same time. It's all terrifying. Okay, time for tweets now. Anna wrote, a good episode, but chaotic. At least we learned about the glow sticks. Amber for danger, green for safe. How much more can Lana take? No ordinary person would deal with this much. Yeah, she'd be at home. Like, she would not be going to work.
Heavily medicated, said, might I add.
Yeah. Melanie says the same thing. She's just like, how many brutal deaths does Lana have to witness before HR insists that she has a day off? It's shocking. Rachel says, is Lana the only expo in London? She's witnessed countless deaths in the last couple of days. Yet every bomb there is, she's on it. No other officers seem to go anywhere near the bombs. Yeah, true. Hannah says, I thought it was very optimistic of Lana to say that she'd go to her parents for a curry after work, given that there was a countdown to a big bomb at 7 p.m. and she might need to stay past tea time. True.
Yeah.
Do you know?
I forgot about that. Yeah, that's so funny. That's so funny. Oh.
Debbie says, Debbie just tweeted in general, sorry, not at us, I just saw this tweet from Debbie and I was like, you know what, I agree. She says, I think it was unnecessary to kill Tom. Not only was he one of the only likable characters, but he had more potential alive. Jed Mercurio likes to shock for shock value, but sometimes that doesn't work and it didn't work here. Mm. I have to agree.
And let's not blame Jed, because when they shock for shock value in Line of Duty, it's usually earned and there is a level of logic there. And, you know, it's kind of like in Game of Thrones where they kill people and you didn't see it coming. But I just don't think we care about Tom enough. But then we're also like, we don't care about anyone else that's left. So who are
we meant
to actually...
Yeah, he was the person that we probably, one of the people we cared about the most, and now he's gone.
The only we're investing. Premier now though, also guys, Jed didn't write this. He's just for his production company make it. Yeah. So like, obviously he looks over the thing. Yeah. Sam says, Lana had more... This made me laugh. Sam says, Lana had more chemistry with that jam-filled biscuit than she did with Tom.
Yeah, there was nothing giving... I agree.
Grant says episode 3 was a great episode to watch. I've watched episode 4 and it's poor.
Jesus Christ.
And finally, let's look ahead to Sunday night's episode. Fucking after all hell. Of our scathing reviews. Here's a description for episode 4 of Trigger Point Season 2. It says, Alex contacts the police with critical information about a new attack planned for that day, but Commander Francis warns the team against placing too much trust in him.
Okay.
I can hardly wait.
Well,
guys, it's not the best one we've podcasted about, but you know what? We're having fun
enjoying
it
though. Yeah, I'm definitely having fun with it. I'm definitely having fun with it.
You don't need to think about it too much because there's not enough characters left to even think about.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I mean, we wait with bated breath now to watch episode number 4 that Grant says is poor.
Wonder when they give me gas and air, maybe I could use safely. To watch that.
Would you have one of your non-alcoholic fizzy rosés just, you know, to sort of, just for the sense of occasion?
Yeah, I might just like sit in a really hot room or something. I'll try and get sort of a natural high because if someone has watched ahead and it gets any worse, guys, I honestly am going missing. I'm getting signed off for the rest of the season.
Well, listen, guys, do you know what? I just like that we get to have a chat every week about it. To be honest, I wouldn't binge this, so I'm kind of glad we're watching it one a week because I think I would have dropped off now if I was binging it. Do you know that way?
I think you dropped off last night when they had the night vision goggles on.
I didn't even see them. What's wrong with me?
Okay. In the meantime, you can leave a review of our podcast now, not of Trigger Point. Just let's differentiate there. You can leave a review of Shrine Podcasts on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen and hit follow or subscribe, please. Follow us on socials. We're at Shrine Pod. We love your voice notes, even if they are scathing. We love your honesty.
I love the scathing voice notes.
Love the scathing ones. ShrinePodcasts.com, and you can click on the link that lets you leave us a little voice note. We'd love to hear from you. And if not, you can email us, ShrinePod@gmail.com. And of course you can support us on patreon.com/shrinepod, and for Trigger Point you will get these episodes nice and early before everyone else. That's it, we're done now. Would anyone else like to say anything?
Did you name your dishwasher? We've had a few messages should we ask, should we do like a competition for like, we'll give someone something if they name your dishwasher and you like the name?
Yeah, to the 4 people that are following along with Trigger Point to listen to this, do please name my dishwasher and we will scramble something. We don't do merch, guys, but we could come up with something.
Oh, we could, you know, a little gift from us, a personalised podcast, or maybe they'd come on, they could have a little spot in the podcast, some episode, have a quick chat about something.
Name my dishwasher, suggest what you'd like as a prize, and we'll pick someone. I think that's perfect.
We will. Stunning. That's perfect. Okay, guys, enjoy the poor episode number 4 of Trigger Point. We'll chat to you next week.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavourless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.